Hey, you're listening to UFC Unfiltered. Very, very busy show. Matt and I joke around. We laugh. Paul Felder calls. Elias Theodoro calls. We talk to Kamaru Usman. A lot gets done.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Oh, it's good to be back in the Big Apple. 27 fucking degrees. Even LA, it rained. Everywhere I go, I just bring horror and destruction.
Is that where, excuse me, everybody, is that where Ozzy Osbourne lives? In?
Yes, it is. The party was at his house.
You went to a party. Wow. Well, yeah?
It was really nice. Yes,
how was it?
It was fun. I mean, it's a birthday. It was Ozzy's birthday party. It was, you know, they're proper. Sharon is like a proper British lady. Like, Ozzy's a fucking, you know, he's probably, literally, if he had his way, he'd probably spend all his money on just, like, you know, on fucking junk food and weird shit.
Do you remember the show?
Hats. You know, he'd buy weird stuff.
You remember the show Osbournes?
Sure, of course.
It? You ever see when the wife, Sharon, and the daughter were doing fishy fingers, and they were putting their fingers and trying to in the thing, and then trying to and then put it by each other, and they and Ozzy's like, they're bloody mad.
No,
I can't do a good fucking Jamie English.
That's bloody that's not but, Jamie English.
Oh, I
English,
swear to God,
Ozzy Osbourne.
That's an episode, man. I've seen
you.
That.
I never saw all the Osbournes.
It's insane.
Because it made me want to hang out with them too much, so I was frustrated. They live in a different house now. Anyway, this is a different home. They've had like five homes since then. And
I like that they're still together.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You get there, right? And of course, there's security and valet.
Yeah.
And you walk in, and they have this little, you walk into this giant, like they have a beautiful, big, beautiful room, obviously, you know, which leads out into their backyard.
Yeah.
But it was all tented off, and they built a wood floor over the pool. So it was like a giant deck that was tented in with rented furniture. It held like 250 people. It was fucking incredible how nice it was. And I'm like, I didn't realize. I'm like, this feels like an extension of the home. And like, no, this is outside.
Yeah.
So they must have spent a lot of money on that. And I hung out with Marilyn Manson most of the night. Yeah, I'm talking to him a lot.
How's he doing?
He's good. He's a really funny guy. He's silly. He just likes to goof off and just
does
talk
he,
shit.
Does he look? Does he dress the way? Is he like going there like Marilyn Manson?
No, he's. I mean, you know,
he's just going there with like a regular. Like,
he's him, but I mean, he's. I'll show you this really cute girl I met there too. I was kind of hoping she'd go out with me. She was a Britney Spears impersonator. What a delightful young woman!
Is it a woman?
Yes. Well, I mean, you know,
well, I mean, like
classical definition, no, but.
Oh really? Wow, she was pretty.
Yeah, I know. Sharon introduced me to her. I saw her.
She really gets you.
Yeah, well, she's either trans or just an impersonator. Right. And I go, Sharon, I like her. And she goes, I know you do. And she fucking grabs me by the hand and walks me over.
Yeah?
And introduces me. And she's like, Jim is a very good friend of ours. And the girl still wanted nothing to do with me.
But
or guy. I don't know if it's a male who just crossed.
And by the way, we have plenty of stuff to talk about with the fights. I can't wait. We're going to.
We'll get to it.
We're going to get to it.
But first
there's
things
so
first.
Much.
I missed the birthday cake.
Did you miss it?
I didn't know they were going to do it. I wound up eating. I took a picture with a guy who I thought was Johnny Depp, but it was just some asshole impersonator.
Are you serious?
I'm such a stupid motherfucker.
What the fuck is
it
that?
It looked like him, right?
He really did. I mean, he looked very close to Johnny Depp.
Yeah?
But it wasn't him.
No?
No, he was an impersonator. And, you know, he was acting too drunk. I should have known better. I'm such a fuck.
That's funny, Jimmy.
Humiliating, non-showbiz idiot.
Speaking of drunk, I got to stop hanging out with Mr. Henzo.
Why? Is he an alky?
Not at all.
Hope not.
But every time I do, I end up drunk on the Long Island Railroad. And my wife always... Now, she doesn't give me shit. My wife's awesome. She knows she's good. But she knows, though.
Yes.
You know,
she knows you're a liquored up fool.
Well, I mean, that Chimney beer is like twice as strong as like a regular beer or something. Am I saying it right? Chimney?
Sounds right.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I ain't going to spill it.
Excuse
but
me.
All I know is I filmed some stuff for Gala. Like, we did an online thing, me and Henzo. He came in on like a day's notice. Like, yo, come in, Henzo, hang out. You know? And, you know, we had such a good time, me, him, and Jamie English. We missed you, though, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, but listen, I mean, Ozzy's party or hanging out with me and Master Henzo, it is kind of a toss-up, actually. You throw in me, no, it's an easy decision. You go to Ozzy, throw in Henzo. Henzo's a good time.
Yeah, he is. But, I mean, let's be real honest. I mean, Ozzy kind of takes priority.
Well, he's your friend.
Well, yeah.
To me, if there's they're sinking and it's one of those things, who am I going to, I'm saving Master Henzo.
That's fine.
Ozzy's done.
I understand.
All right. I don't know why. I'm saving Ozzy. I didn't mean to drape swords. Hey, you know.
Literally over anyone.
That's true. Jimmy? Even me? To be honest. Hey, if it's you and Mr. Hensel, first of all, I could probably save both of you. So
I'd save Ozzy's assistant over you.
Oh, fuck, Jimmy. Oh, fuck. I almost am so lightheaded I couldn't press the thing. Oh, I like when Jimmy makes me cry this early. Jimmy, anyway, so listen, we shot some stuff for Gal. I showed some Kimuras, and then we had some beers, a couple chicken wings. And next thing you know, I'm in the Long Island.
How many beers?
Literally.
Are you a lightweight with beers?
Like four, I had. But they're strong. And then I might have finished a couple, like an alky. Well, I don't know if they were done.
Were you doing edibles too?
No edibles.
Okay. Sometimes it's a bad combo.
I might have smoked a little bit with a blue belt over at Henzo's. But listen to me. I don't know if that happened or not. Like, it was a rough night. But next thing you know, it's so weird how they hit you, these beers. Because next thing you know, I'm on the train. I'm all good. And next thing you know, in the Long Island Railroad, I have specs. I think I didn't clean my shoes good enough. My lugs. Uggs.
Uggs.
Yeah.
I've had that. By the way, you just pulled out your plug, so your phone is not charging.
I saw that. I tried to play it cool, Jimmy.
Yeah, I saw it.
Well, it's not that cool because it's...
Yeah, it's awful.
I got it, Christopher Medusa. You should do that over there, Christopher Medusa, because... All right.
So what happened? You got little white specks
on
your Uggs?
So I ended up in that bathroom where...
What, you felt sick?
I threw up in the Long Island Railroad.
Wow, were you getting motion sick?
In the railroad, the train. Yeah, no, I don't know why I threw up. I will probably use all the beers. I'm not a big drinker. I like the other stuff.
How long into the trip did you like, oh no, I got to puke?
I don't remember.
Oh no.
I know it was bad because I saw my, because when I puked all over the place. And then that's that water where you have to hold your hands underneath and keep waving it. And also it comes out like a little thing. So I'm like, ah, I rinse out my mouth a little bit. It was just, whatever. It's, I don't want to bore everybody. But.
Wait a minute. I puked on the train story is great. Who doesn't like I puked on the, what do you mean you puked everywhere? Did you get it all over the floor?
It was a fucking, nobody should use that thing. And first of all, fuck them.
Why not just
on the Long Island Railroad? They can go fuck themselves for two reasons.
Hold on. Why not just in the toilet?
That bathroom always is broken where somebody can just walk. You know how many people walked in on me when I'm doing something a little private? Not whacking off.
They're walking in, they're like, ugh.
I'm like, yo, the door was locked. I mean, they almost get annoyed. Like, oh, it's like, hey, dude, the door's locked, asshole. Well,
maybe you were
drunk. But it doesn't lock. Anyway, there's that. And I'm sick of these motherfuckers. Yo, if I fall asleep in the chair, in my seat.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of seat. If I fall asleep in my seat, I got my ticket up there. Don't wake me up after Jamaica. Don't wake me up after Jamaica.
It's a dick move.
No, just put it back where it was. It's in the thing where they see it. You know, the little thing with the ticket. They take it, they punch it, they usually put it back. Some motherfuckers shake me. And I'm like, hey, dude, you shake me like that, give me my ticket again. How about I jump on you? Let's get back to some, let's talk about some fights, because I'm getting amped up. I didn't train this morning, Jimmy. I'm a little extra amped.
Okay. I did.
Oh, you look like you can tell, too.
Thank you very much. Did the weight vest?
Did you? Sure. So the weight vest.
I put like 30 pounds in a weight vest to go up and down the steps.
It's fucking awesome.
It's awful.
By the way, we got a bunch of. Did we say he was calling in yet? Yeah, we did. We did it in the end.
We have Paul Felder calling in, who called the fights. We also have
some fights.
Did call the fights. Yeah.
Yes, he did.
And we also have Kamaru Usman calling in, and we have for the first time Elias Theodoro.
I know Elias,
who won a split decision. Which
was it split?
It's fucking crazy. Yeah, How is that a split decision?
It doesn't make sense.
Again, great second round for Eric Anders. I mean, the second round was really good. I thought he was going to finish him. I also thought he made a couple of mistakes by tying him up, and I thought he should have just kept hitting him. But Elias Theodoro was so good in that third round, he kept staying away, and he actually won the round.
How the fuck
did they see that differently?
Elias has a unique style. It's interesting. He doesn't take a ton of damage. He comes at you at weird angles. He's got to be an interesting guy to train for.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be hard to get guys to
left, win. Right, left, right, left, right. He's really constantly moving.
It's downright awkward, and it's going to be a hard guy to get some sparring partners to mimic that. You know,
right?
He's also championing a cause that is probably close to your heart, Matt. I mean, he's trying to get a therapeutic use exception from USADA for his medical cannabis.
Good luck with that. Me and Elias could have been hanging out ages ago. Yeah. I would have. Yeah, Elias. I'm with you, man. Yeah, dude, I'm not made for the alcohol, man. I got fucking arthritis. I got the shot in my knee last week.
Did it help?
Dude, I'm limping. I don't know if it takes... I know he says it takes a while, and I'm getting another
one tomorrow. Are those stretchy pants?
What do you think? I can't fucking kick somebody in the face?
No, I'm saying you can, but you fucking dressed like a girl in Seaside Heights in the 80s.
You don't like these pants?
You're wearing jeggings.
What's the matter with these pants?
Nothing. They're just all stretchy.
What are you saying?
They're stretchy. They're
so like, what do you want me to have on? Some fucking tight Levi's, like fucking, motherfucker?
Like girls' pants.
You want me to be like fucking...
Should go to Hunka Bunka in those.
These are nice jeans. What is a Hunka Bunka?
Oh, it was a club in like the early 90s. They would always talk about it on 103.5.
Well, Jimmy, I like my pants.
They're nice. They look comfy.
Well, Jimmy, I'm a martial artist.
You are.
I like pants where I could fucking do that Chuck Norris machine. You know that one where you stretch your groin?
Sure. All right,
listen, back to some fights.
Yeah, I'm gonna Max Holloway and fucking Brian Ortega.
We're starting with that shit?
Yeah, can we just...
Why?
All right, well...
We like to lead up to it.
All right, so lead up to it. That's fine.
What's wrong with you?
I like to lead up to it because I think we need the enthusiasm of... I want to hear... Also, our guest, Paul Felder. I want to talk about some of these fights with him also. But Jimmy, I'm not sure if you caught, and I was very, very impressed with Nina Ansaroff.
Ansaroff.
I said.
Yes.
I was, let me tell you, I did not see that coming. And if you heard Claudia Gadelha say, leading up to this fight, she was like, well, you know, listen, there's... She's more well-rounded. You knew she was going to try to take her down and just smoke her or beat her up. And if you've seen Claudia's fights in the past, she's very good with the striking to the shots, striking to the clinch, striking to the takedown. And then when she gets on the floor, she's got very good Brazilian jiu-jitsu. She's awesome. So I'm telling you, I was shocked as this fight kept going. And when she first got her down, I'm like, oh, this might be trouble. And man, Nina did her homework. She was awesome.
Yep.
And then she was getting stronger and finding her range and getting her timing. And Claudia started to weaken right away, right by that second round.
Yeah, that's the best she's looked, I think, Nina.
Oh,
so
boy.
Far. She looked great.
Listen, I mean, I'm sure she was the underdog in that.
Yeah.
When I heard of that fight, I thought it was a tough fight for her.
Yeah.
So she came through with flying colors. I don't know... Why Claudia got tired pretty fast? I mean,
was it a tough cut for her?
I don't know, but I mean, she looked in great shape, but she was on her in the beginning, and then I don't know if she knew that Nina was as prepared as she was. Maybe I'm not saying she underestimated her, but if you heard the interviews leading up, I heard a couple, and it's one thing to be confident, but it's basically she was almost showing her hand, saying that listen. It's a mixed martial arts fight and she was stronger her than in certain areas and I just think that in her mind she thought she was gonna take it down and smoke her.
Yeah, I think
so. To Nina's credit, man, she did great. She good, really good in the scrambles down there, good defending herself down there in bad positions, staying calm. And then she had endurance in the tank. When they got back to her feet, man, she was awesome. I was impressed.
Yeah, and she managed the distance really well, which I think is what Claudia had a problem with. Like, she probably assumed she'd be able to get in on her much easier than she was, but Nina was able to keep her at range using a good jab, and she really looked great.
Claudia's tough, man. She had a lot of battles in there, and I've been very impressed with her in fights that she's won and lost. And I was super, super impressed with Nina, so... Congrats, Nina. We should. And I heard that they might be coming back in here. There's a rumor.
There's a rumor that we might have Nina and Amanda in here.
I hope so, because we love those girls.
Yes.
We like them a lot.
And now, what did you think of Thiago Santos against Jimmy Manoah?
Oh,
by the way, Jimmy, I got killed this week.
By the way, did you give the picks?
You didn't get killed, but you didn't have the greatest. So this is our first fight that we picked. So this is Thiago Santos, Jimmy Manoah, kicked off the main card. Jim, you had Thiago Santos by second round knockout.
Good.
So you got that right.
3 points
for
daddy.
3 points for daddy, that's right. Matt, you had Jimmy Manoah first round knockout.
But first of all, what a heart attack this fight was. What a wild fight.
Yes.
I'm surprised. This, you know what? In a night that had so much going on.
Well, if not for Holloway Ortega, that probably would have been the night. But
Santos got a bonus, though.
Yeah, he was.
Yes, he got a performance bonus, and then I had Thiago by first round knockout.
Got a feel for Jimmy, man. Jimmy.
I know
was
he dropped
there,
a
dude.
Few, but he looked. I thought he looked really good. I mean, he certainly didn't look bad, but
he did. That doesn't hurt his stock, I don't think.
No,
he's up. He's getting up there, though, Jimmy.
Yes, he is.
Yep.
I saw that. I remember I picked him, and then I saw them do the when they did the the stats, and I saw his age. I'm like, hi. And I got worried. Then he started hurting him. I'm like, oh, he's got Jimmy. I yelled Jimmy more than I do in here. And I do that too much.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But good. Hey, man. So I got that wrong.
And Hakeem Dawodu
Yep.
Beats Kyle Bochniak. It was a split decision.
Oh, can I mention? Hey,
sure.
You know what? Fuck this. You guys don't listen to me sometimes. Can I say something here?
Very salty language.
And somebody caught it. Somebody caught it.
Oh, I know what you're going to bring up. You were right. By the way, this is another fight where Hakeem Dawodu obviously wins the fight. Two judges have it 30-27.
Yep.
One judge has it 29-28. Bochniak.
She just like to say Bochniak.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is. Some of the judging is.
It really
is that
make
the
sense.
Same judge?
Wait, wait. They gave what 20? What did they say? I'm sorry.
Two judges had it 30-27 Dawodu, which I think is correct. I think he won all three rounds. Yeah. Another judge had it 29-28 Bochniak, which means he gave Bochniak two rounds.
That's insane.
Right.
So let me ask you.
I'm going to look.
Is that the same shit judge? I mean, because we want to talk to Elias Theodoro. Somebody gave that. It was a split decision.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but that one, no, you can make an argument.
I
but,
cannot see yeah. any argument for fucking Eric Anders winning that fight. And I like Eric Anders. I had him picked.
Yeah.
Or in my own mind, I did. And I was incorrect.
Let's see.
Eric Anders won, I believe, only the second round.
Yeah, Benoit Roussel, he had a 29-28 for Anders, and he had a 29-28 for Bochniak.
Yeah, so this guy stinks as a judge. He's judging.
Well, he's just seeing something that the other judges are not seeing. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. But, I mean, the Bochniak-Dawodu one is way more egregious, I think, than the other one.
Still. Same guy.
Dawodu.
Yep. Dawodu, yeah.
Dawodu.
Who looked really good, by the way. Very crisp.
By the way, Gilbert Burns.
Yeah.
Against Olivier Aubin-Mercier.
Yeah, Gilbert Burns, and he's coming off of a loss to Dan Hooker in Vegas, and he, man, he's a fun, both guys are fun to watch, but Gilbert Burns is really like a powerhouse type of fighter.
Just so people, I don't want to, they're going to be, oh, you never finished the thing, kind of like I did with that Hulk story last week. Guys, I told you guys that I watched Queen from Live Aid on my living room, and my mother was really into it, and I said that. And then I brought it up again later in the show. You go, you never said that. You made me think I was fucking crazy. So, goddamn it, Paige.
Oh,
that's her name. That's her name on the
okay.
thing. She's Paige the Gamer. She's a fan of the – she's part of the UFC Unfiltered Army, she's from the UK. She wrote in the exact time, Chris, the producer. She tagged you in that, I think.
Did she?
Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't think
but,
she did, yeah.
But –
I think it's a
she
lie.
Said that you mentioned it. They don't listen to you.
No, you're right.
Thank you.
I listened back
Paige,
that night.
The gamer. And I appreciate somebody listening to me.
You
it's
said
easy
it,
to
you
tune
said
me
it,
out.
And then as Jim was saying something, so it got lost in the shuffle. But you did, in fact, say it earlier
did not,
in the conversation.
I accept your apologies.
Yeah,
it's okay, Jimmy. Jimmy didn't apologize. Jimmy doesn't have to. He doesn't have to listen to everything I say.
No,
Jimmy, I'm sorry. You listening?
Well, yes, of course. I'm right with you, Matt. Right,
let's go. What do we got next? Well, I just want to point out that nobody
two.
Listens.
Yeah,
I think
so
I
for
had
the,
Dawodu
you did. You had Hakeem Dawodu by decision. Matt, you had Kyle Bochniak by decision.
Yeah,
and
batting
I had
a fucking thousand, ain't
Hakeem
I?
Hakeem Dawodu by decision.
Okay, so I had 6 points.
Six for six so far. Two picks in a row.
I have 6 points for Daddy.
Maybe I won't listen. Maybe I'm. Maybe
right.
I'm
not going to say it again.
I'm going to tune this part out. What do we got?
Well,
yeah,
Jimmy. This is this guy Gunnar Nelson. I pressed it. I want to be. Want to
shoot? No, but my nose is bad. I was getting a little fucking mute button, which they still haven't gotten us.
They don't got us a mute button, guys. I wouldn't be doing
button.
Half the fucking burps in here
if we
had that.
Part of the issue with the cough button, I know it's absurd, but
we're
close to the Empire State Building, and so it gets interference.
They can make
you hear like the radio through for whatever reason the one with the cough button.
Oh, so we press that, like something comes in.
It'll just be coming through all the time.
All right. Well, listen.
We'll just figure out.
Let them. That's I like fine. When the audience knows what's going on.
No, yeah. But you don't want to sniffle into the mic. I apologize, guys.
People, I don't fucking apologize for shit. I'm sorry, buddy. I love you.
Gunnar
I need this
Nelson,
job.
Rear naked choke, second round.
Well,
I mean,
you know what's the beautiful thing about that is Gunnar Nelson, man, that's the importance of the mount position in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And he got the... Oh, and by the way... The ref who was threatening, you got to keep working, you got to weaker. Asshole.
Where were they when he said that? Were they on the ground?
Jimmy,
were they standing up?
No. He was mounted on him. That's the point. He was mounted, Jimmy. And when you're mounted, you're in such a dominant position, which Gunnar Nelson showed maybe
Right.
Not even a minute after the referee's trying to fucking cattle prod him. You can't rush that position. You're going to lose it.
Well, didn't they? Because I think the announcers, actually, I'm thinking that is when they were saying that there's no way they're going to break him up.
Oh, is that what they were saying? Position. I didn't hear that shit.
Yeah, and they said that it's been, I think Rogan even said it's been done before.
Yeah.
Or guys in a mount. I think that's where that happened. Yeah.
That is an incompetent ref. That's like taking somebody off somebody's back because it's such a threatening position. If anything, the one guy has got to be looking to get out of that position. You know what I mean? So,
of course.
Gunner, you got to settle in. You got to set something up. You're not just going to get on. I'm just start attacking him like a caveman on there. And especially Cowboy Oliveira is very wiry down there. He's a wiry type dude, man. And those guys, you get a little bit of space, then you lose that position again. Now he has to get him back down. He had a questionable elbow. Could you put that fight on? Yeah, I want to see that elbow and if it was behind the head.
On who? From Oliveira to...
Oliveira, very beginning, up against the cage, and it was questionable because it was right by the ear. Either way, it hurt him. So that's even more impressive.
Yeah, he said it in his post-fight interview that like it took him the full first round pretty much to like shake the cobwebs
out. 100%. It was nerve. It made it that more exciting. But this is the thing now with the mount position is in the original Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournaments with the points awarded, you get the most points for the mount and you get the most points for back with the hooks. And that's how it originally was, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu competitions. But now with all these sub-grappling tournaments, and it's cool, it's just a different rules. All right, here we go. He has him up against there. We're going to go back to that. Gunner has him up against the cage and he's looking. It didn't happen already or did it?
I'm not sure. I think this is where it happens. It happens pretty early. This is like
Well, he looks good now and he's looking for the takedown.
Yep.
He got a single leg. He's looking for a high crotch here. He almost gets him down, and that's what I mean by how wiry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's what he grabbed. I'll grab the fence.
Yeah. Here, I'll find it.
Yeah, and by the way, that's pretty fucked up too. I mean, because
that should be an automatic point. I think especially when it really prevents the takedown.
It makes such a difference because it's like you're exerting so much when it's taken away. Like it's like now you don't get the rest on top of him, and you exerted that energy.
Yeah,
you know. Oh, the fact that the fact that an Oliveira got out of that back position is that's something. That shows you how wiry this guy is. But for combat, fuck it. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It was the very, very beginning when he got that clinch right away, he started hurting him.
What did you think of that elbow that Nelson hit him with? It required 29 stitches.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty. And again, you could do something like that from guard, but you have everything going for you on mount. The guy can't really hurt you back. He can't get no snap on his punches or anything. He can't really wind up. That's a true sign of a novice down there. Like Tatui trying to punch up. Uh-huh. It's fucking it's just a lack of knowing what to do.
Sure.
Right. A lack of spending time getting out of that position, you know? So to try to get somebody off that position when they achieved it. It's fucking, that's brutal. So the fact that he was, I mean, that was getting me nervous, the ref, but that elbow he did on him from the mount, and again, because he's still mounted, it's only going to get worse. Oh, it's going to, you know how to keep that mount. You're there as long as you want to be, unless that guy says, fuck that, turns the back, and then look what happens. That blood just makes that choke go in tighter.
Yeah, that might have been, I mean, I've watched a lot of fights, obviously. Like, that might be the most amount of blood I've ever seen.
I can't think of a time, I can't think of a time I've seen more either. It almost looked like he just tapped after. Like, he wasn't a rear naked choke, but it seemed like he lost a little bit. Like, I don't know if that really fucked him up, but that was a gash in his head.
Yeah, vicious.
Props to Gunnar Nelson. Yes. And that's what I was saying. Like in the submission grappling tournaments, a lot of times they don't want to get mounted. And we had Eddie Bravo on here and he's like, oh, I feel better with guys in a submission grappling tournament. When somebody's mounted, I don't feel that bad because it's not that there's, you know, a guy could play super tight with his head flat, elbows in. It could be hard to submit him.
Right.
You know, and he could last down there and then make a little space. And next thing you know, he's on your leg, you know? But in a fight, everything changes because you can't play so tight. You have to defend yourself with the strikes, and that opens up all sorts of things. So what I'm trying to say is for fighting, you know, get that mount. Don't just hop off that mount. Get that mount. Keep that mount. People should have an Aljo Sterling mount. That's what they should go for. BJ
Penn. Does he have a good mount?
Oh, my God. Aljo gets mount. It's a fucking problem.
Yeah.
Oh, we got some news coming up with him.
Oh, great. Yeah, yeah. I saw you guys kind of like tease a little something. Yeah,
and I'm excited about it.
Fighting Ngannou.
I'm going to call Paul Felder in a second. But just to wrap up that fight, Jimmy, you had Cowboy Oliveira by second round submission.
Yeah, Cowboy, huh?
You did. And then me and Matt had Gunner by second round submission, so we got that.
All right. 3 points.
Yeah.
Well, Daddy has six.
Yeah, well, who's Daddy? All right. Jessica I and Caitlin Kuhagan was a good fight.
Yes.
It was a good fight.
She still wants me to take jiu-jitsu. I love her.
She's great. And Jessica's great, too. She's been at my place a bunch. She's wacky, but in a good way. And she's tough, man. She's a tough chick. They're both tough. That was a good fight, man, with Jessica coming in like a bull.
We have Paul.
Oh, is that?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. You're talking to Jim and Matt. How are you?
What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, question for you. We were just talking about some of the refereeing. What did you think about it at one point when he was telling when Nelson's in a full mount and he's telling him to you know, to have a little action, or he's trying to get these guys to do more?
Yeah, I think that's a tough one, man. When it's full mount, I think that guy on the bottom has to get out of that before you tell the other guy. I mean, that's just one of those positions where I think it's tough to stand anybody up.
100%, and especially since he just achieved it, and it's like,
yeah,
if by speeding it up from that position, especially a wiry guy like Oliveira, it's like, man, that can make a difference in the fight, a huge difference. You know, you got to give a guy, there has to be still a little chess play down there, man. You have to give a guy a time to work. That was stressing me out.
Yeah, if they would have stood them up on the mount position, and just like you said, with a guy as explosive as Oliveira, you got to shut him down before you can start ground and pounding or looking for a submission. You can't just go crazy. He's going to find a way out. And then, you know, you just lost position just because you were told to get busier.
I mean, Gunnar had his back back triangle. I mean, he had him tight, and he escaped that. So this is a guy, you get that mount position. If that ref would have stood him up, man, I was already like, don't you do it. Don't you fucking do it. I was getting nuts, Paul. Oh, man.
Oh, I don't blame you. Yeah, that would have been a little ridiculous.
And have you ever, we also talked about this, have you ever seen so much fucking blood in a fight?
No. I just think they stopped it right away. Imagine how bad that would have been if they didn't. That would have been the most blood we may have ever seen in one single fight. That was probably, leading-wise, one of the worst cuts I've ever seen.
And would they have stopped that between rounds, though? Because it wasn't in a bad spot. It was on the forehead.
It was gushing. Yeah, that probably would have affected his vision. Yeah, I mean, that was really fucking bad.
I saw the aftermath of him getting stitches the other day.
Yeah.
I think they said 29 stitches.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, they would have stopped it. It was bad.
It was really bad. Because the cameras kind of pulled back because everybody kind of, you know, he rear naked choke right after that. So he kind of didn't go very long. So there was no chance to really see it. But from the little.
I don't think he even tapped to the rear naked choke.
I agree. You think it was the cut, right?
Yeah, I think he knew. I think as soon as he went for the choke and Oliveira turned over and realized how much blood was everywhere, he's like, there's no way that I'm going to fight out of this.
Probably drown on that shit.
I don't know if I've ever seen it pour out like that. Who was, then again, didn't Overeem, who did Overeem just throw an elbow on that he badly.
Was that Overeem or was that?
It was Alistair Overeem.
I thought it was Curtis. Oh, Overeem. Who the hell did he?
Curtis Blades cut him really bad.
That's what it was.
Right. He cut Overeem. Right. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, man. Overeem just got a win.
He did, yes. But I was remembering that fight.
Yeah, I know.
And he got cut horribly. He dropped an elbow and just he split right open.
They've trained since then. Yeah. That's kind of cool about that.
Since
that fight, they trained together.
Well, were they friendly before that? I mean, were they?
I don't know. Okay. If they were too friendly. But
I think it was after that they started training together. Yeah.
And we haven't spoken yet. We were kind of waiting for you. Obviously, the Holloway-Ortega fight was kind of dull and disappointing. were you surprised? I love Holloway, but people didn't know because of the health issues. Is he 100%? Is he going to be okay? So I had picked, I think it was a third round submission by Ortega, but I mean Holloway was just fucking perfect.
I had Ortega too, and you know, we just had Max in here, and I love Max, but I thought the jiu-jitsu, if he had a hold of anything, I just thought that would make the difference. But I was can't say enough about Max. What did you think before the fight, going into it? Like, I know that might be hard when you're calling the fights to, I don't know if that's like a conflict of interest for you to be like saying what you thought before the fight. But now that it's done, what did you think going into it was going to happen, Paul?
I was slightly leaning towards Max just because of the footwork and the volume, and Ortega's not necessarily, you know, a really well-established wrestler. His jiu-jitsu is probably the best in the whole division, if not one of the best in the UFC, but you got to get it there, and it's not easy to get a guy like Max, who's a big 45er, he's tall, he uses his range really well, and my only concern was, where is his head at, how is he feeling? And then once the first, second round started going, I really didn't think there was a way that that fight was going to end up on the floor, man. But he even impressed me beyond what I thought he was capable of doing. That was one of the best performances I've seen from somebody.
Yeah, I figured we had him in not long before that, and he just seemed crisp and clear mentally. He seemed 100%, but again, there was still that little thing of, I don't know if there was ever really an answer as to what was wrong with him. I don't know if anybody really knew exactly what happened to him that had him pull out of that last fight.
No, I don't either, and I'm, you know, Sucker Punch and Brian Butler's same manager as me, who manages Max, and, you know, I never even got any super inside information even from them, so it was still a mystery to me.
When are you fighting again, Paul?
January 26th.
Against?
James Vick.
Oh, yeah, man. Shit. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, so now when will you stop actually announcing?
This weekend. I'm doing Milwaukee as well.
Does it interfere with your training at all? Like when you guys, I mean, on DC, that certainly doesn't seem to hurt him at all, but does it compromise your training at all?
Normally, I don't do them that close. So last week was kind of a last-minute thing. They only had a two-man group, and they'd asked me several times, and I wasn't going to do it. Ultimately, I called my mom, who's, you know, Mama Dukes gives me the final word. I was like, what do you think? She's like, you overtrain, as it is. You do too much. Your weight's good. You've been training hard anyways. She's like, just go. Make the money. And I trained anyway. I mean, I trained every day I was there, and I found this little Muay Thai gym and was smashing pads with this little Thai coach. So I got it in anyway, and I probably could use the rest. But normally I stop 8 weeks out, but this one, I'm in Milwaukee training anyway, so doing UFC Milwaukee this weekend is going to be, I mean, I'm just doing my normal thing.
Right. Now, yeah, I'm going to see you, excuse me, in Milwaukee. Obviously, the main event is one that you're going to be watching closely is Yes, Ally Quinta versus Kevin Lee, and I cannot wait for this.
That's a good
I'm
fight.
So excited. Could you give us your thoughts on that fight that's coming up? I mean, I'm sure you. I mean, you were scheduled to fight Al the one time. Kevin Lee's. I mean, we could definitely see you versus one of these guys in the future. And how do you think they match up with each other?
I mean, well, we saw the first fight, but obviously, I mean, you know this. I know this. It was early on in Kevin Lee's career, but I think both guys have evolved and are different fighters from the first time they met. So I'm just curious to see in the stand-up department, you know, Al was able to hurt Kevin Lee a couple times, and Kevin Lee was able to get a takedown on Al. So both of their strong suits have probably improved even more. I think it's going to be a scrap. I think they're going to beat the brakes off of each other, to be honest with you. They seem to both have some bad blood. Al coming off of a huge opportunity when he fought Habib, and Kevin Lee's been on the cusp of that title shot himself for a while now. So there's a lot of implications on the line for these guys. So it's fight week, man, and Al seems to be, you know, he's here, right? He's going to be here. Yep. So that's, as we know and you know, my man, that's most important. If he's mentally motivated and driven to be here, he's one of the best fighters in the division. So as long as Al is motivated to actually get into the cage, I think he's going to put on a hell of a performance.
Hey, man, as a guy that's close to him, I'm just going to say he had a fucking amazing camp. He looks amazing. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah,
Paul, I'm excited for this fight. I hold Kevin Lee in very high regard also.
Yeah,
I really do. He's a well-rounded guy. And I'm just, as a fan, I'm looking forward to having, I have a great seat for this fight, you know? So I'm looking forward to this.
And Paul, what do you think of, we talked before a little bit about the judging. You know, I thought Dawodu won all three rounds, and they gave a 29-28 to Bochniak. And they also, the same ref, did the, I thought that, I think he had Eric Anders. There was one guy that actually thought that was very obviously Elias Theodoro. How do you give him two? How do you give Anders two rounds in that fight? I don't understand it.
Same judge.
Yeah,
same judge.
I don't understand either, man. I thought the judging was really weird that night, and I agree with both of those fights on how you scored it. I thought Dawodu won the whole fight, and I definitely had Anders had that round where
second round,
he
yeah,
hurt Elias, but the first and the third were 100% Elias's round. So. I don't know how. I don't know what fights these people are watching. I don't know if they're mixing up who's who because they don't know enough about the sport. But it's getting a little ridiculous, and it makes you nervous as a fighter. It's like how the hell did you score it even remotely close to that? And so
yeah, because sorry to interrupt. I thought Anders had a great second round, if I remember, and he almost put him away. But he was on. I thought he backed off when he shouldn't have. I think he went to the ground, if I remember correctly. But I don't think he was as aggressive as he should have been because Theodoro rebounded nicely in that third round. But I'm like, how do you give that a split decision? It's just that would worry me too if I was a fighter.
Yeah it's a little disheartening because you know these fights are 10-point must systems. Even if you don't want them to be, that's how they are right now. So if you win two of those out of three and there's no 10-8 rounds, the fight should be yours. So I don't know where these split decisions are coming from, but there's been a lot of split decisions and strange draws as well lately. It's like, whoa, Jesus, what the hell is going on, man?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I didn't see coming. I didn't see Nina beating Claudia. I didn't see that coming.
That was impressive.
Right, man? I thought that Claudia just had such an advantage on the floor, and Claudia leading up to it knew that also and was basically saying that she's a different level down there. It's not just a stand-up. I mean, in so many words, she was basically saying that she was going to take it down and smoke her. That's what I was taking out of it. And I was just super impressed with Nina. I can't say enough about it.
Yeah, I think that's a four-fight win streak for Anzorov. So, I mean, I think she's really... She said in the pre-fight interviews, we interviewed her, she's like, look, I'm a smart person. I've got other things going on. I want to have a family someday. She's got things that she can be doing other than getting punched and kicked, but the only thing motivating her is obviously to be champion and to be the best in that division, and she wasn't going to continue on if she can't fight the top people. And when she got the Gedalia fight, that kept her motivated. Now she's beaten her, so I imagine that's going to keep her even more motivated. But that's the only thing she's motivated by right now is being the best, not by money, not by just, you know, staying busy. She's only doing it because she wants to be the best, and I think that's a good thing to be motivated by, not just by needing the money or the attention or anything like that.
All right, Paul, we got to wrap up. We have Elias Theodoro calling in. We also have Kamaru Usman. We have a very busy show. We always like getting your take, man. You're really, really doing a great job, and obviously we love watching you fight, too.
Yeah, and I'll see you this weekend,
thank
Paul.
Yeah, I'll see you this weekend, man, for sure.
All right, take care, man.
Thanks, Paul.
Later, guys.
Bye.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like Paul's take on things.
I do, too. I like the fighters who are in it. Yeah. I mean, again, it's... Guys, like, I also love John Anik, but I mean, I love to hear from like Dominic Cruz. I love to hear from him. I love to hear from DC because they just have a little bit of a different way of analyzing a fight. Now, let's see. With Oliveira, I was wrong about you guys are right. Now, we're waiting for who's next on the phone?
I'm going to call Elias.
And by the way, while you're calling him,
yep.
We should give props to
Valentino?
Oh, fucking A. We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
But Diego Lima.
Yes.
Wow,
I mean, wow, man. That guy's had some up and downs, man, you know?
Yeah, he's been a guy that like he'll get put on his back a lot, and it's hard for him to get back up after a bit. But yeah, I mean it didn't go there. So.
Started with two TKOs and a knockout, or two knockouts and two TKOs and a knockout, and then it was five straight decisions. It's so weird when you watch fights.
And I was interested with Matthew Lopez because we found him on Dana White looking for a fight, but he had a hard time, man. It wasn't a bad fight. That other kid's good, man. That
Bracatona, yeah.
He had him. He strangled him.
Is he the rapper?
No,
who's the one who rapped?
Chicka 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 chicka. Man, that Bracatona was good, man. And the way that fight ended with Matt, we got him.
We got Elias.
Yep, Elias here.
Hi, buddy. You're talking to Matt Serra and Jim Norton on UFC Unfiltered.
What
How are you?
What up, Elias?
Gentlemen. Hey, Matt.
Hey, man. What's going on, buddy? I just talked to you recently through we messaged each other about something. I don't know what. Didn't we just talk not too long ago?
Yeah, not too long, but remember, I get punched in the head for a living still.
Fuck.
So sometimes the conversation goes. I was hoping on you.
Hey, man, listen. First of all, congratulations on that fight, man. Eric Anders is no joke. And that's a good feather in the cap right there, buddy.
Well, thanks. You know, really, it's always great to get your hand raised. Obviously, excited to, you know, take the win in home soil. And no, I'm happy. It was a really good fight.
Now, we've been complaining, by the way, about the judging in that fight, and we didn't see how anyone gave Anders two rounds.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the numbers kind of speak for themselves in regards to just both in volume and I think overall game plan. He just wanted to knock my block off, but, you know, I think there's more to that in fighting.
Are you still working? Who was the little guy that you had as a coach when you with me, but you came by with him?
Lachlan. You met Lachlan and also Evan. Definitely always working with them, but obviously I had in my corner my wrestling coach, Chet Pearson, which you also met when I came down. And then also, obviously, Faraz and Kurash.
Man, awesome. And, you know, I was just saying before we got on air, you have an unusual style. Like, it must be hard for these guys getting ready for you. Because, you know, I've seen you down at Longo's sparring, too. And you don't... It's interesting, man. How'd you develop that? Like, I mean, you don't take a ton of punishment. You have an awkward striking style. Is it just... tell me how you developed your fighting style.
Yeah, well, I think it kind of stems a little bit in my past life as a skateboarder. And I think that's where a lot of the dexterity comes from and the ability to jump in and out. You know, and it just kind of developed in the sense of, you know, I want to break the rhythm and kind of punch beyond where people kind of usually expect to be hit. And, you know, obviously, my coaches have helped embrace that along the way, but I think a lot of it comes to the aspect of trying to be unpredictable. If I don't know what I'm going to do, how is someone else going to know?
Yeah, well, I didn't fucking know, but it was awesome. Hey, tell me about your post-fight speech, buddy. Oh, go ahead. What are you going to say?
No, and also I just think I was just going to go more in regards to, like, just the cardio aspect. I think I can, you know, embrace not only my volume and, you know, my own orthodox aspect, but just kind of trying to break someone. And, you know, I actually do joke that, you know, the Mike Tyson quote where it's, you know, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah.
I think everyone's got a plan until they see me dance, and they don't know how to interpret it. It's just that I'm a phenomenal dancer, but it's neither here nor there.
Oh, you are a good dancer. That's my my Achilles heel. I'm not a particularly good dancer, nor am I good in bed. So I guess there's a lot of Achilles heels.
I do not. I guess I definitely have the opposite effect.
Fucking Elias. Look at this guy. Look at his hair. Look at him. Dude, you're on those romance novels, aren't you? That's not a rumor.
No, I have 11 to be, in fact, but who's counting, right?
Now, how does that work? Did they just approach you and go, look, you got the hair, you got the looks, we want to put you on this romance novel. Is that what happens?
No, well, when I was in the minor leagues and fighting and kind of coming up, a way that I, you know, did some work, I did some modeling and whatnot, so I had an agent that was able to put me in all those romance novels, but once you're kind of in, they, you know, they'll call you up from there, and, you know, it's definitely another feather in the hat, I guess, I kind of put. But I'd never let my mother read any of them. They are smut novels.
They're filthy.
Call them smut.
They're filthy. Jimmy likes the
smut. That's such a mom term. Smut is a great mom term.
Exactly. That's exactly why I said that.
That is so awesome. Elias, how did you end up being a freaking ring card boy? And is any drunks trying to fuck with you? Because I don't think that's a good idea for them.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It was just one of those things where I kind of, you know, I'm kind of trying to think outside the box in regards to, you know, diversify and also, you know, separate myself from the pack. And I thought there was a great opportunity to talk about that in the true pursuit of equality. The answer is more, not less, in regards to conversations about, you know, removing ring girls. So I thought, you know, why remove a ring girl when you can add a ring boy? And obviously put my name in the hat and, really excited because this week I'll be at Invicta 33 and excited to add to a great night of fights, which I know they always are.
Where is that being held?
That's going to be in Kansas City. So really excited. This will be my, I think, sixth Invicta event, and I'm really excited for this one. There's a rematch going on that both athletes are looking to make sure that there's no question of who wins. And, you know, I not only have a really fun job, you know, as a ring boy, but I got the best seats in the house for a great night of fight.
How hurt were you, by the way, in the second round?
I think, you know, I definitely, he hits like a Mack truck. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And I threw a lazy kick down low that got me caught. And, you know, I think part of it is, you know, because of my unorthodox aspect in style, if I get caught in a bad place, it's kind of hard to find a footing because I'm constantly keep on moving. But, you know, my coaches love me and hate me right now because I did give them a heart attack in a second. But I showed that, you know, I was able to pull it together in the third. Obviously, when you win, it is what you need to do. But I definitely need to learn from this fight because, as big of a difference, I don't know if you guys heard, but in the fight, just before the fight, rather, we both weighed in, and he weighed in at 223 pounds the next day. He was ginormous, and he hit just as hard as you would expect. So, you know, I felt stronger because I felt stronger in the clinch, and I should have capitalized on some of the clinching aspect that I really think I was a superior in. So, you know, I'm going to learn from this fight. It was a great fight, but obviously, you kind of alluded to it, Matt, but obviously beyond fighting in the cage, I'm looking forward to my next fight against the Sigma Medical Canvas outside.
Well, question. He weighed in at 238?
No, he didn't weigh in at that.
No, the next day.
Oh, the next
23.
Day.
Oh, 23. No, I meant 38 pounds. He put on 38 pounds?
Yeah, damn. So he's probably the prime example of like a 195, but, you know, he really pushed it to the limit in regards to the weight cut. He actually didn't show up until 10 minutes before the cutoff. And, you know, he was a really great guy, but he was hating it the whole way through. And I just saw in his frame, I just, when I was cutting weight with him in the sauna, again, there's no animosity. We're going to fight anyway. And it's better to fight for money than anything else and not use any of the moments in regards to build up hate, because I think any type of emotion is a finite resource. But, you know, he made it by like just 10 minutes, and the next day, they basically, the UFC weighs us in just to kind of check on where you are. And I weighed in at 206, but I had some of my clothes on. So I was probably about 203, the next day. And I looked at his, and it said 223 pounds. He felt ginormous, but, more in the aspect of just his strength, where I still felt that I was stronger in the dominant positions in regards to the clinch, just because of the, you know, I think I just have more mat time in that capacity.
Was he doing a good job of cutting, kind of cutting the cage off? It seemed like at one point he was doing a good job of cutting you off.
Yeah, no, in the first round, he was not able to really get my rhythm or, kind of really put up any of an offensive. Obviously, in a second, he was able to catch me, and part of that was because of that. But I also think, you know, when you're pulling away as fast as I was in regards to just, getting shots in, moving, sticking, moving, I think sometimes in a fight, you can kind of lose some focus. And, you know, unfortunately, I took a couple punches in the face, but I regained focus, and I was able to pull it together in the third.
Elias, let me talk to you about something that I hold dear to my heart. Medical cannabis, can you hear me? Sorry. Now talk to me about that.
No, what? I appreciate
Let's
it.
Talk about the benefits of it, man. Tell me, how does it help you?
Yeah. So I personally, because again, medicine is a very personal thing. I have what's called bilateral neuropathic pain. It's essentially nerve damage in my upper extremities, and it's something I've dealt with before fighting, but it's obviously something that's exaggerated with what I do, punching and kicking for a living. And it's not just obviously the fight, but it's leading up to it because, you know, it's just one of those things. It's a fact of fighting in the highest levels that it's no one really goes in at 100%. They try to keep it as close to 100% as possible. And just medical cannabis has been shown is works best for me, not only in regards to the endless amount of medications that I've had been forced to try, but as an alternative through my pursuit for a TUE. But again, nerve damage is more specifically what I suffer from, and it's my medical doctor, my family doctor, and my medical cannabis practitioner at Solace Health Network who have been helping me as a patient and empower me as both a patient and athlete.
Well, listen, can I just throw in there that as being a guy that's trained for fucking over 20 years on the mats and everything else. It helps out with arthritis too. And I don't want to get nuts with this applause button, but it helps out. I'm not popping pills. I can't tell you the last time I had a Tylenol.
All right. How about a Cialis?
Well, you can't, you know, we can't.
Priority.
Yes.
But what I was going to, sorry to interrupt, but that's actually kind of also what I do have as well. I have arthritis in both hands. And it's degenerative, and it's also congenital because I have rheumatoid arthritis just like my mother.
Wow.
And it's unfortunately in the sense of, you know, in Canada, we've had medical cannabis for over a decade, and it's actually attached, to our fundamental rights in healthcare as kind of dictated in our health, our, Charter of Rights and Freedom here. So it's not only about, you know, what I'm doing to kind of benefit myself, but I also want to bring the aspect of this is a fundamental right for Canadians, and Canada more specifically wanted to remove cannabis from the prohibited list through the CCES, as I mentioned. It's the Canadian Center for Ethics in Sport. They're basically the Canadian version of USADA, and they lobbied to remove cannabis from the prohibited list, but both USADA and the Japanese representative said no. And again, as Canada has actually legalized cannabis nationwide, October 16th that just passed. It's kind of where we are on the forefront, and I feel obligated now that we're removed from prohibition to use my platform and talk about not only my strike, my fight inside the cage and out, but also for all Canadian athletes moving forward.
We have to wrap up just because we have Kamaru Usman calling in. But it's fun talking to you, man. Real quick before you go, you're starring an independent film called Last Hit where you play an MMA fighter. Is this your first acting? Or have you done a bunch of acting?
No, I've done a bunch of acting. Actually, to elaborate on it, it's called The First Hit. I play an MMA fighter who gets injured, and I reinvent myself with competitive video gaming. It's kind of like The Wizard meets Southpaw.
Okay. And it's something you like to do, acting?
Yeah, no, I definitely. I've been in a couple of TV shows. I've done some stunt work, but this will be my, I'm the feature in it. I'm the lead in it, and I'm really excited. It's a great script with a great director already attached to it.
Well, it's fun talking to you, man. You're really, really exciting to watch. And I mean, 16-2. Do you have any idea who you want next?
I'm going to take one of the people that I definitely would love to fight, who's, I was originally scheduled to fight him, is Antonio Carlos, Jr.
Shoeface.
Whiz on the ground. Yeah, Shoeface. He and I are supposed to tango a couple of times already, but unfortunately he's got injured. So, you know, he actually made a swipe at me about cannabis and told me not to get, quote unquote, too high. And I said, well, it's unfortunate because, again, he's injured right now and medical cannabis can help you on a speedy recovery. Yes. And so hopefully he can talk to his own doctor and get healthy soon. And I would love to take on him.
All right. Awesome. Well, you're always exciting to watch, man. And congratulations. I thought that was a very clear win and not a split decision win for you.
Yeah, Elias.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Really appreciate it coming on your show.
All right. Take care, man. We'll talk to you again.
Take care, Elias.
Talk to you.
Bye.
Take care, Matt.
Good man. He's a good man.
He's really.
I like when he visits a lot.
Time to pee. Why don't you take a quick break and then we'll call Kamaru Usman.
Break time.
UFC featherweight contender Brian Ortega loves the fight. He loves the strategy. And you know what else he loves?
I do.
What?
Toyo Tires!
And because, like T-City, Toyo Tires are as tough as they come. And if you saw this fight with Max Holloway, Brian did lose, but I've never seen anybody tougher. He's a tough guy. He likes tough tires. And they are the official tire of the UFC for a reason. There's a lot to love about Toyo Tires. Aggressive design, proven off and on-road capabilities, tires for any weather, and the toughness to back it all up. There's a confidence that comes with tough tires. I believe Brian might not have made it through that first fourth round if he didn't know he had Toyo Tires. That's just my take.
It's fair. Yeah.
He's a tough guy, but he probably was inspired by his tires. So no matter what you're driving, no matter where you're driving, you can count on
Toyo Tires.
Tough people love tough tires. If you're tough, these are the tires for you.
Toyo Tires! That wasn't me!
The next time you need tires, ask for Toyo, the official tire of the UFC for a reason. Learn more, toyotires.com/UFC. After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Kamaru, hey, buddy, you're talking to Matt Serra and Jim Norton. How are you?
What's up, Kamaru?
I'm good. Hey, Matt.
What's going on, buddy? Awesome fight, man. Congratulations with that RDA fight, man. That was sick. Yo, Kamaru, you there, Kamaru? We're on air, homie.
Oh, hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, buddy?
You caught me off guard. Here.
That's all right, so, man.
I was expecting your call, but you guys just...
What are you doing? Are you sleeping? Or are we interrupting like a private moment?
Yeah, we're coming in hot.
No, I'm not sleeping. I'm just chilling, guys. I'm ready for you guys.
Oh. What's up? Well, Matt was saying congratulations. The RDA, I mean, what an incredibly dominant performance.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. I really appreciate that.
I think you won over Dana with that fight.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's good to see the boss actually start to recognize all the hard work that you put in. So, you know, that was the biggest thing. That's important to have, obviously, the boss be happy with your performance and you doing your job.
Well, he was so happy that he was saying that he wants to see you versus the champ. Like that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things that he finally saw that. I mean, it's what else do I need to do in a division to get the respect that I deserve, to let everyone know that, hey, I've done it all. I'm here now. It's my time to fight for that title. It's my time to go out and really show that I am the best in the division.
You know what I think's hysterical is that I just read that you would rather fight Colby Covington than fighting the champ right now if you were given a choice. Is that correct?
No.
Am I way off with that? What the fuck did I read?
It's not correct.
Hold on. What am I reading?
It might just be excuse me. It might just be, you know, obviously fans tweeting or saying whatever they want to say and you know, obviously, kind of came out the wrong way. But no, actually, if the champ is unable to fight, the only other fight I want to settle for is Colby Covington, because that fight is personal to me. That's a fight that I personally want. There's fights that you want to move up. Obviously, I got into this sport to become the champion.
Yes.
But Colby Covington is a fight that I will settle for. Whether I have one leg or one arm, that's a fight that I will fight hurt because that's a guy that I really just want to get my hands on. You know how there's just some of those, there's just that guy. That you just want to beat up so bad.
100%.
It doesn't matter. You'll do anything to get your hands on it. And that's the case. But when it comes down to it, absolutely, I'm for the title. That's what I want.
What started between you? Exactly what was the moment that started where you guys just started hating each other?
I think it was just, you know, him running. In this sport, I take it very seriously because I didn't get into this sport because I couldn't do anything else. I got into this sport because I wanted to compete against the best and I wanted to move up the division and become the best. You know, when I got into wrestling, the same thing. I got into wrestling even when I got into it, it was late. I had been wrestling for a while, but I got in and I worked hard and I got there. And so when I made the decision that I was going to be a professional fighter, I was doing it to get to become the champion. And so that's all I was doing. I was training. I was fighting the best to try to move up as fast as possible. And then all of a sudden, this guy starts talking crap, talking about, oh, well, you know, they offered him to me and I ducked him and this and that. And it rubbed me the wrong way because I'm not that guy. I don't get into this to troll guys, to try to get famous off of talking about guys or that's I don't do it because of that. And that's what it seems like these guys are doing. We live in an age now, a society now where people just run their mouth on social media with no regards for any consequences or repercussions that might come from it. And that's what these guys have been doing. And so when he started doing that, I took it personal. I took it really personal, and to where it was like, okay, you're trying to say that I've ducked you? How have I? I'm standing right here. If it's really a fight that you want to fight, we can do it any day. It doesn't matter if it's street.
Now, Dana recently, he commented on those guys, on Colby and Tyron, saying, hey, if you guys don't want to fight, like, the world is passing you by, like, you know, and then he kind of went after Tyron a little bit. They have kind of a contentious relationship, Dane and Tyron. They fight, they make up. Is Colby not willing to fight right now, or is Colby ready and Tyron doesn't want to? Do you know, Kamaru?
See, guys, this is the thing that's kind of frustrating me right now. That's confusing to me. Is last week, after my fight, I think it was actually the day after my fight, a brand new TMZ show, the one that Tyron does, came out. And Tyron said that his hand's better, his hand's healing, that he's ready to go, willing to fight at the first top of the first quarter. He's willing to fight in January and or March because the UFC told him that February is off limits. Okay, so you're ready to go. That's fine. And then Obi Covington last Monday got on the podcast, MMA Junkie Radio or something like that, and said that, he's fine. He's ready to go. He was fine to fight in November when I just fought. These two guys are saying they're ready, but they're not willing to set a date and fight each other. And so you can imagine how frustrating that is for the boss,
sure,
Dana White. Now imagine how frustrating that is for me, who's actually training each and every day to become a world champion and waiting for my turn. And I've busted my balls to get to the top. Now these guys are saying, oh, they're ready to fight. But they don't want to schedule a fight or fight each other. Dana's like, okay, Tyron, if you don't want to fight, then we're going to pass you by. These two guys are going to fight. But Colby's saying, oh, I'm not willing to fight Usman because obviously, I don't know what reason it is. Obviously, on my behalf, he's scared because he doesn't want to fight me. He's not willing to fight me. You just want to wait for Tyron. But Tyron is saying that he's okay, but hasn't fought you. And Tyron's saying that he's not willing to fight me either because Colby Covington doesn't want to fight me. What does this make?
It is a really interesting match. And those two fighting, because Colby did win, you know, personality stuff aside, he did win the interim belt. And I do think that him and Tyron should be the next fight. But I think that's good for you because either way, that's great. Like, because one of those guys wins, so you either get Tyron as the champ, or if Colby beats Tyron, you get him as the champ. And that's a really good fight. So I think either way, you should be next in line for the winner of that fight. If they do it.
Absolutely. You know, I'm trying to wait for my turn, but these guys need to go ahead and set a date and make it happen. If the guys don't want to fight, then that's fine. They need to step aside and let me jump in and become the world champion.
Now, I thought it was very ballsy of, you know, newly signed UFC welterweight contender, Ben Askren, to send you a couple messages to say, listen, I know Colby's a little bitch, But I know a guy who isn't, and then he's saying basically, well, he said he'll be your Huckleberry. And, you know, if you have that title shot right there, obviously, why gamble it by fighting, you know, Askren, who's a super stud? But I'll tell you, that would be a huge feather in your cap if you take him out. What are your thoughts on Ben Askren?
Yeah, Matt, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Personally, you've been a champion, you've been a fighter, and you're also a coach as well.
Yes.
Now, on your personal opinion, what sense does it make for me to fight this curly-headed dork that has fought a bunch of nobodies? Like, I will name three guys that this guy has fought. I will give you $10 if you guys can name three guys.
Whoa, don't make the stakes so high, Kamaru.
Exactly. Like, come on here. This curly-headed dork is just like, he's just like a... I mean, for lack of a better term, it's like it's a new prostitute that's just jumped in a new rink, and it's just all of her just running his mouth just to try some form of clout.
That's a phenomenal example.
He's talking. Think about it. He's just talking about everyone that's hot right now just to get some form of clout, to get some form of fan. Are you kidding me? One minute it was Darren Till. Next minute it was Masvidal. Next minute it's Conor McGregor. Next minute it's Cesaro Eubanks. Next minute it's this guy, it's that guy. Like, he doesn't know what he wants.
Yeah.
He's just running his mouth to anybody who's hot right now just to try to get some fans on his side. Like, this guy has probably some of the worst stand-up in the game right now. I just don't pay any attention to it.
No, I hear you, and I understand. He's making a lot of noise, and to his credit, that's not a bad thing on his part. But all the guys he called out, and no knock on them, styles make fights, you'd be a problem. So that's what I'm saying. It's and listen, on you, from your point of view, you're doing the right thing. You should be looking to fight the champ or Colby.
Yeah.
Because if it's not Woodley, Colby would be a fuck. That could be a main event anywhere. Because who's not going to want to see you two guys fight? But here comes Askren. I was just surprised, basically, by him to try to call you out. Because these other guys, Darren Till, you sure a little bit of a, you know, kink in the armor. It was a chink in the armor.
Chink in the armor, yeah.
But I mean, so styles make fights. So I'm like, yo, I'm surprised he's asking for that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, he's just jumping in just to try to, he's trying to cut the line and at least make some noise for himself.
Yeah.
And I get it. But I'm the wrong guy for that because I will severely hurt him, you know. And for me, it's like, what do I have to prove? That fight's a lose-lose for me.
Yeah.
What do I have to prove? I go out there and I smack this guy.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to say, oh, well, yeah, he hasn't really fought anybody anyways. He jumped to the UFC, fought a real guy, and yeah, it's going to be about him. You know, he goes in there and does okay, still takes some hell. Everyone's like, well, now she's level. He's tough. He hung in with the number one contender in the UFC. You know, it's a lose-lose for me. He does nothing for me. You know, it's a sideways step. And then after I beat him up, I'm still waiting to fight Tyron.
Yeah, right. True. Yeah.
There's a rumor about him fighting Robbie Lawler, Ben Askren. I don't think that's been cemented anywhere. That's not concrete.
I think it's been confirmed.
Did Dana confirm that when I asked him?
Yeah, Dana said it on the show, but I don't think it's like officially UFC announced, but Dana said it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that matchup, Kamar? Who do you think takes that one?
I think it's a phenomenal matchup. And to be honest with you, I think he will lose to Robbie Lawler.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm. Robbie could hand him his first L.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting.
Well, I hope you get the. I hope that they set a Colby Tyron date for whatever. Dana, by the way, said that he never said that to Tyron, but maybe it was somebody else. Who the fuck knows? That the February is off the table. Yes.
No, I was just gonna say that Lawler Askren fight is official.
Okay. Oh, it is official.
It's January 26th, UFC 233.
All right, good. So listen, man, we hope you get the next shot after Colby and Tyron. Hopefully, they'll fight soon. And you just stay healthy in the meantime because you're definitely next in line for the winner of that fight.
And congrats again on that RDA fight.
It was so dumb. Was that 50-45 by all judges, or was there one that gave it like 48-47? Am I remembering that right?
What?
Yeah, I don't know what that ref was watching, but obviously something was going on there. But it is what it is. I thank you guys very much. I appreciate all the support, and hopefully be back soon.
All right, awesome, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Take care, man. Have a great holiday, bro.
Yeah, enjoy.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
All right, man.
Yeah, I really like him a lot. He's a good guy.
I like him a lot, too, man. He's got some style with that Nigerian. Yes. I said Nigerian.
Very, very.
They got to clean that up.
He's a fine dresser, too, by the way. I was sitting there fucking. It was three. It was him. I think Marlon Moraes, and I forget who the other fighter was.
I think it was BJ was sitting next to us.
And man, it was one of the person, and then it was fucking dumpy nothing, fucking Jim Norton.
Stop that.
I could not have looked like a fucking a fatter gutted idiot just sitting there next to these real men. It was fucking humiliating.
Well, let's talk about some real women. Valentina Shevchenko.
What an amazing fight.
And beautifully said, Matt.
Yeah. By the way, she did run out of a little bit of gas by round four, and that's where Joanna seemed to do well. But Joanna, just again, as no disrespect to her, she's so fast and she's such a good striker. She was afraid to throw head kicks because she got grabbed and taken down. She also it doesn't seem like she's hitting hard enough to knock anybody out. Then again, neither did Valentina. But she's good for volume, but she does not seem to be hurting anybody.
Now, yeah, I think you could see a power difference, especially early, which I think is why Valentina probably tired out a little bit. I mean, it's not like she was exhausted, but there was a difference between the first couple of rounds the last couple of rounds. But you can tell when Valentina throws. I mean, there's a lot of force behind
her. The first time that Joanna fought at flyweight.
125, right. Yeah. Right. And she jumped down, though.
What's that?
Didn't Valentina go down?
Yeah, but this is more. Yeah, she did, but this is really what she went. I mean, this is like her class. Yeah.
And I was impressed. This is what I was impressed with. I thought that the ground wouldn't make much a difference at all because nobody's able to really hold on to you Joanna. Know Joanna down there. She's so wiry. But I was super impressed when Valentina got her down with her near side underhook, Jimmy. Her near side underhook. That's why she wasn't able to escape. That's why she was able to hold her down the way she did. And I was super impressed with that. What I mean by that is when she was across her side, she had her arm had an underhook on the near side, not the far side. And it makes such a difference with the control, you know? So I was just super impressed with it. And I didn't see that playing a big part going into it. And then I was wrong and she ended up getting out and getting up eventually, but man, Valentina, very smart. Yeah. And the takedowns were very smooth. And I mean,
her spin kick to the body, was anything better than that?
Nasty.
She has such great timing on her counters. And she was not gonna be denied that night, man. They both went in there with confidence, but Valentina, I mean, she's never real. I mean, even when she's got beat by Amanda Nunes, she only got outpointed, and she was winning that third round in the first fight. Second fight was a toss-up. Yeah. Right. This girl is an absolute beast. I can't say enough about that.
Shows you how good Amanda is, too.
Yeah.
Shows you how fucking good Amanda is.
God, I was praying for a submission so bad.
Why?
With Valentina, because I had Valentina my third round submission, and Matt was like, you were making fun of me last week, and I was like, please, Valentina.
I had Valentina by decision, I believe.
Yeah, so you guys both had Valentina by decision, so you get the full 3 points, and yes, I had Valentina by third round submission.
So what you need to say is 9 points for daddy.
Yes, 9 points for daddy, fine.
If you're daddy, what am I?
You're houseboy.
I don't like that.
You wear a loincloth and help around the house.
I don't like that. I got abs now, though, Jimmy.
By the way,
I'm just trying to picture me in a loincloth.
After the fight, Valentina was saying, you know, she wants to stay active. She's like, I'm not the type of person that's just going to show up and show off the belt to the media. Like,
dude,
no,
I
want to stay
active. She's got a fucking gun tattoo on her hip.
Yeah, she's a
badass. What does she want her to do? Look, her sister, man, they're badass. And Joanna's awesome. So, hey, you know, she's going to be back. She's going back home to Poland, and she says she's going to go visit her family and this and that and sleep in her bed and let her go get recharged, come back. I'll always watch her fight. She's awesome.
And the main event, too, you know, one thing, Ortega went in at 14-0, he's undefeated. And if you're going to have your first loss, there's no better way to do it than to, first of all, the guy was just not going to stop fighting. He was absolutely going to fight the fifth. Oh, he did not quit. And a doctor stopped it, and he was obviously his eye was in some kind of, you know, danger. He could probably hardly see out of it. There's no better scenario for you to lose your first fight than to the champion like that.
Oh, and an all-out war, where you win the round before the round you lose. I mean, Ortega won that third round, I thought.
You know what's awesome about that is, yes, Ortega came back in that third round with some well-timed, well-placed counters and stuff. But I would, man, wow, Max. What about him getting up and going to Rogan and them, going to Joe Rogan? Yeah, I'm going to end it now, guys.
Fourth round.
And he fucking did it.
Yeah.
And I mean, and not only that, he came out like a man possessed in that fourth round. Holy shit. It was like, it's not that he took the third round off, but, you know, that could have been Brian's round.
Yep.
But then he came back in that fourth round and just unleashed hell. He unleashed fury. I cannot get over his accuracy. He's so accurate, man. It's like he reminds me somewhat of a Diaz brother where it's just the volume. But man, I mean, he just gets stronger as the fight goes on. He's relentless. I'll tell you, I would love to see him fight Conor McGregor again. They had a fight, a decent fight the first time.
Decision, right?
It was a decision. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, man, what he gets Conor past the couple, he goes past a couple of rounds with Conor. He's gonna be pouring that shit on. Like,
he doesn't get tired. Oh my like God, he gets just stronger. Doesn't slow down.
No, it's absolutely crazy.
That's gotta suck for the other fighter.
Here's a couple of, and well, you could see it too. I mean, Ortega's as game as they come, and Max, you said, takes nothing away from him, but he just was overwhelmed.
Did you see Max walking out to that thing?
Yeah.
Cool, talk about a guy that's happy to be there.
Oh my God. How many punches did he land? Can you read that first stat? Holy shit.
So that's total strikes landed, Max. Landed 614 total strikes.
And I was talking to Longo about this because I'm kind of concerned for Brian's longevity in his sport. He was, Longo was like, oh, he's rolling with a bunch. And I know he was rolling with a bunch, but he took a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Let's say he rolled with half of them, and he's still 300-something punches.
He took more punches in that fight than I've taken in my life.
Yeah, by like
by 600.
Yeah.
By 600.
By 610. No, I'm only kidding. But Jimmy, wow. I mean, it was in a performance that is just, it leaves you in awe.
580 significant strikes. I mean, Max Holloway was
this is the round. Incredible. He called it that fourth round. And then when it didn't happen, he goes, "Ah, maybe next time, guys." And then they didn't. Then they stopped it. So he basically did what he said he was going to do.
Right.
And that to me is just wow.
And Ortega looked really good, you know, but he was just fighting someone who was giving a masterful performance. But I thought Ortega looked really, really good, and he was landing hard shots. When he landed some really good shots. He did hurt Max a couple times. But just he couldn't match the speed.
I thought jiu-jitsu, I thought, all right, Max, you know, you could say arguably, but I thought he had the real edge on the feet, which obviously was so. Yeah. I mean, now it's obvious, but before that, you're like, oh, man, but Ortega, you know, he landed on Frankie, and he did this and that. But I thought one slip up and Brian gets a clinch and he gets him around the neck, anything, it could be over.
Yeah. Well, he tried. They didn't try to pull him
a couple
at one
times.
Point.
Yeah. But Max, masterful, you know, and it shows you the difference. If they were to roll in an academy, just do some jiu-jitsu, I'm sure Brian would most likely have his way. But it's not a jiu-jitsu fight, and it's not a grappling match. And not that Brian fights like that. He doesn't. But Paul Felder mentioned it earlier, the wrestling aspect. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Where that's the one area where if he picked it, because he's good at, he's got a really good stand up, got good power, got good well timed counters, good accuracy. I'm talking about Brian Ortega.
Yeah.
And he has phenomenal jiu-jitsu. Maybe a little bit more with the wrestling, a little bit more just to put that where you want it. Because you got to think, man, his fight with Moicano was close too. Until McConnell shot in on him. That was a close fight. I forgot who was winning that.
Yeah,
was very close.
I think it was probably 1-1 going into
McConnell made the one mistake by shooting in.
Right.
So Max had to be perfect, and man, did he deliver. I mean, I was blown away. And leading up to it, and also you got to understand, a while ago, like over 5 years ago, Max Holloway fought Dennis Bermudez and lost.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, man, he, you know, Dennis, you know, had some wrestling and he got in on him. And if Dennis could do that, I'm trying to put it in. And I remember leading up to this, Max was saying, you know, people talk about my fight with Conor, whatever, you know, the old Max lost also to Dennis Bermudez. And I'm a different guy now. I'm a different Max Holloway.
Yeah.
And man, do I believe him.
Yep.
It's easy to say that, but holy man, he's just a different guy now. These battles, just his fight IQ, his skill set, his endurance. I can't wait to see what's next for him and who's fighting him next.
He was just incredible. I still want to see Frankie get a shot. I mean, I
feel oh, wow. I would, too. I mean, styles make fights. The way Frankie blends it together, that would be. And, hey, the one thing Max does not have Frankie beat on is, well, a couple of things, is fight IQ and endurance. So that would be.
To watch these two fucking Terminators who don't get tired.
Right.
Hey, look, he fought Brian and he's fought Jose twice. Frankie has to be next if he's healthy. Who's that?
Who did Frankie? It was Frankie's. That was his last fight.
Frankie's last fight. He beat Cub Swanson.
Oh,
in Atlantic City.
He
bounced back
right.
quick from the Ortega fight. He and did. Beat
Cub. Yeah. Yep.
Man, listen, Frankie deserves it more than anybody, right? I mean, Frank, I would love to see that.
That's
I don't know if they wanted to give him a fight first or whatever it is, but
right.
man, you got my money, and Frankie's such a legend. I mean, look what he's done with the sport. How could you?
Yeah,
like,
nobody would argue
that?
With that. Right.
Nobody would argue.
You
with
know,
that.
It'd be a fun fight too. It'd be Max against Yair Rodriguez when the time is right for that. Because yeah, I think that'd be a very interesting matchup.
Like Yair, listen, that would be interesting, but. He's got to show a little more because he did have an awesome fight with Korean Zombie, which he was down in the cards yeah. until he landed that fucking spectacular
That's true.
Elbow.
You're right, he was.
So he was down in the cards, so he needs to show a little bit more, and he shouldn't be getting that in front of Frankie.
No, 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 no. Yeah, I mean, he's ranked. What is he ranked, Yair? He's way down. He's third. He's 12th.
Right.
I mean, there's probably a couple of guys ahead of him. Jeremy Stevens.
Yeah.
There's a couple of guys ahead of him.
Well, and Aldo's back in the mix. I mean, I know you're not going to like immediately put
him
against
him
Max, but he's
no,
but,
you can't do that.
But
right
he
right
is away. Back in the conversation more yeah. so than Yair Rodriguez.
I guess he
let's
is.
Let's see him fight Ortega. That's interesting.
Oh yeah.
That's really interesting. There's so many good fights, Jimmy.
Well,
and we get to talk about
it. I don't think that's as interesting. I'll tell you why. Because again, when Jose can't throw kicks, he's a good boxer. But I don't think he's good enough to keep Ortega off him, and I don't think he's going to be throwing a lot of kicks fighting Ortega. I don't think that that's as great a matchup. I mean, even though Jose is a black belt, I think Ortega wins that, and I would give him in the second.
Here's a couple of Max Holloway records that he set after this weekend. He's now tied with John Jones, George St. Pierre, and Mighty Mouse for the second longest win streak in UFC history, 13 in a row. And that's after you were saying Dennis Bermudez and Connor. He hasn't lost since then, 13 straight. Anderson Silva obviously 16, has the record
yeah.
with 16. Max set a new single fight record for significant strikes landed, which was 290.
Yes, I think he landed more than the rest of the card combined.
Yeah, and a new single round record for significant strikes landed, 134 in the fourth round. And then Max became the all-time significant strikes landed leader. He's at 1,627. He moved ahead of Michael Bisping and Frankie Edgar.
What about,
congratulations,
Max. What about Max versus Diaz, brother? What the fuck would that look like?
I don't know. You just don't even put a clock on it. Just like, well, let's just see what happens.
Right?
Yeah.
That is so much going on, gentlemen. All right, people, listen.
I have to use the restroom. We wrap up.
Yeah, we can wrap up.
What a really fun episode. Thank you to Kamaru. Thank you to Paul Felder. And, of course, thanks for Elias Theodoro. That was really good to talk to him.
Yeah, that was great. By the way, just to wrap up the picks here, we all had Brian Ortega by third round submission. Obviously, it didn't go that way.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you went 3 for 5, 9 points.
What'd you say?
Daddy went 3 for 5, 9 points. Matt, 2 for 5, 6 points.
Call me houseboy. I'll fucking jump over this thing like a fucking
nine
superhero.
9 points for Daddy.
Chris, the producer, 4 for 5, 9 points. No big deal.
All right, good for you. So we're both got 9.
What do you want to plug?
Nothing. I have nothing to plug.
Really?
Just check out the Chip Chipperson podcast, Jim and Sam show, and on SiriusXM. And thank you guys for listening.
Thanks, everybody. Be well.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, radio.com, or wherever you listen to your podcast. It's not my business.